name is Ryan Miller, and for the past 15 years, I've helped hundreds of people to raise millions of dollars for their funds and for their startups. If you're serious about raising money, launching your business, or taking your life to the next level, this show will give you the answers so that you too can enjoy your pursuit of making billions. Let's get into it. In this week's episode, I bring on my dear friend Khalil Ufta. Join us as Khalil and I combine our insights to provide you with the common practices we both did in the early days to set us up for the success in health, wealth, and quality of life that we enjoy today. You don't want to miss it. Plus, Khalil shares his highly sought-after secrets to his success as he shares his top five disciplines he used to get featured on reality TV, in Forbes, as well as a respected wealth mentor across the country, making him an eight-figure empire in record time. If you're looking for the fast track to wealth, Khalil and I are about to give you the answers you need in your pursuit of making billions. Here we go. Hey, welcome to another episode of Making Billions. I'm your host, Ryan Miller, and today I have one of my very good friends, Khalil Ufta. Khalil is a managing partner at Marakai Investment Groups and Charm City Buyers. They're a real estate development fund that develops multifamily real estate in the Baltimore area. So, Khalil, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thank you so much for having us, Ryan. Really appreciate it, man. This is going to be a blast. I love chatting with you.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about all the successes that you have. And my understanding is you've got some pretty interesting tips. We'll save those for the end for some of our listeners. But for those of you who are listening, for our fans across the world, Khalil is someone that we call an expert. He's done some amazing things in real estate, and my man, you're just getting started. So I can't wait to hear everything that you have to share. I'd love to hear your story, how you made it, and with the hopes that this is going to inspire a few other of our fans to follow in your tracks, to learn from the lessons that we provide. And, you know, more importantly, we love to hear back, right? So if those of you who are listening, any advice that you love from my guest here, please reach out and let us know. So that being said, you're on the show, you're in Baltimore. How did you get even started in this real estate industry? Bring us up to speed.
Oh man. So first of all, I got to be honest, I'm not a huge like talker. I don't like telling a lot of people about what I'm doing and all that kind of stuff, but I'm honored to be here and I'm going to share as much as I can, because I just want folks to just be inspired and make sure that they too know that just like me, a regular person, they can do it also. Yeah. So how we got started. So 2010 is when I graduated college. I graduated college. I didn't have a whole bunch of cash. I was one of those college students that just kind of you made it by. I graduated with about $20 in my name. And when I graduated, I moved back home to Baltimore. Yeah. I shared a room with my older brother. I moved back home to my parents' house. And I just knew that a few things. One, I didn't have a lot of cash now, but I knew that my entrepreneurial spirit, my drive, my intuition, it was going to push me well into the future where I was going to do some big stuff. I knew that at a core level. So moved back home for about 18 months. And in that 18 months, my internship had rolled into a full-time job. And I was making a salary of about $35,000 a year, which in 2010 was like pennies, right? People were laughing at me when I graduated and they're like, oh, what are you living in your mom's basement? Like, all right, everybody chill out.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a plan here. I have a plan. Yeah. So in that 18 months, my parents were very gracious. But
I was just going to say, this is such a gem, because a lot of people, and you hear this from entrepreneurs, is saying, hey, man, like, you know, how often do we see the men or women who are building their dream? And in the beginning, it's super undercover, maybe in their basement or their mom's basement or garage, and they're building this dream. They're living on a shoestring budget, and everyone, right, they're like, get a real job. And, you know, they might mock or have certain ideas of your ambition. And the whole time you knew exactly what you're doing. You had a plan, right? You didn't have it all figured out, I'm assuming, but you at least had a vision. And that's where it started. And also, from what you said, you had something deeper. You knew this was going to happen. And this is a common thing of people like yourself who have made substantial amount of wealth. They all said, it started small, but I was deeply convicted of my mission and my vision. Would you agree that that's kind of where it started for you?
100%. There was something about knowing that I knew where the finish line was. I didn't know the steps to take to get there, but I knew I was going to get there.
Incredible. So here you are, man. People are kind of making fun of you. You're making 35 grand a year. Where did it go from here? How did you turn into this like multi-million dollar real estate portfolio? I won't steal your thunder. How did you go from making 35 grand living at home to where you are today? Where did it go from this 35 grand?
So with of that 35,000 in 18 months, I saved about 25,000 bucks. And I sacrificed as much as I could. I knew whatever I wanted to do, it was going to require capital, startup cash. And I had to find it myself. So I saved as much money as I could. And when my now wife graduated college a year after me, she moved to Connecticut, Hartford area. Yeah. She had a great job in a leadership development program. I moved up there with her, and in sitting on the couch and just kind of brainstorming and vision boarding and thinking about our future, we were trying to figure out what that next step was. And that next step for us was real estate.
Lovely. That's incredible. And that alone, again, this is amazing. So you and we've known each other for a little while. So we've talked about our spouses and all this fun stuff. But I want to draw a parallel because I've seen this a lot, and I want our listeners to really understand and not skip past this, is you sat down with your spouse, and you don't have to be married to do this, but you sat down and the people like yourself who've been very successful have all done this, myself included. I did this years ago when I was first married, is we sat down and we said, let's be kids for a moment and imagine what a dream life would look like. What does that look like for us? And then you start to reverse engineer. But most importantly, you get on the same page with a vision. And collectively, you create this vision. You did it. I've done it. And many of my guests who've come on the show and those who are yet to come on the show, this is one thing I found in common, is the ones who really made it and were happily married at the end, they all sat down in the early days before they had any money or it was, and they just said, what do we want out of our life? No rules, just what lights up our family. And they made that plan, and it got them on the same page where they're pulling in the same direction. Would you say that that's kind of how that worked for you in those early days as well?
I would say so. Yes. I think for us, we didn't know exactly what we wanted to do, but we knew a few things. We knew we wanted to make positive change in the world. We knew we wanted to build wealth and have tangible assets that we could pass forward. And we knew that we wanted to just impact different areas and communities and grow together. And real estate just checked all of those boxes.
So you found the way. So you knew what you wanted, and then you went backwards to say, how do we get that? Okay, real estate is the vehicle for us. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So for us,
you moved to, so then what happened after you had the plan? Where did it go from there?
Sure. So then that slingshot effect, that delayed gratification, it worked. We purchased our first property. It was about 26,000 bucks. So put our money together. We bought it cash, and it was free and clear. And then we're like, okay, now what? We got a property. Yeah. You know, it's completely blighted, but we can figure something out here. So we tried to do different things like wholesaling and a bunch of different stuff, but it was in an area that was less desirable. So so we ended up doing it ourselves.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Tell me about what less desirable means. I know there's a story.
So check it out, right? So we're sitting on a stoop after we bought it. It's a 3-unit shell. So it can hold three families. It's a multi. And one of the neighbors is coming outside, and he's just kind of hanging out and chilling. He comes up to us, and he's still across the street, but he's pointing at us like, hey, did you guys just buy this house? And I'm looking proud, and you know, I'm a young kid. I got my chest out like, yeah, man, we just bought this house. So he's like, okay, that one right there. I'm like, yeah, this one right here. You see it. I like this one. He's like, yeah. So you know this street is called Murder, right? And we said, excuse me, sir, could you come again? It's called what? What's the nickname?
What now?
Yeah. So we didn't know anything about the area. We didn't have friends or family in Hartford. We just did not know. So quick piece of advice, make sure you do your research about your areas before you start buying properties. We knew the numbers worked.
Yeah.
And there was a reason why the numbers worked so well.
That was, it was a, sometimes a good deal is not a good deal. You're catching a falling knife, or at least it feels that way. You're like, oh, now I know, a little too late, but I now know why we got such a good deal. It's called Murder or Murder Street or whatever it was. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So here you are. You just bought this thing. You start probably sweating a little bit when you find out what the neighbors call this place. I mean, how did you turn? Did you freak out? I mean, I got to know, like, what did, at that point, I'd be a little nervous, but what did you guys do after learning that new information?
We doubled down. We looked at it and we said, look, the numbers work, man. We know the numbers work very well once we fix it up. So we went to Real Estate Investors Association meetings. We went to different meetups and we're telling people, like, look, we got this great deal. It's free and clear and it's yours for only, you know, a couple thousand more than what we paid for it. And nobody wanted
it. Just trying to get rid of it.
I'm trying to get rid of it at this point. Nobody wanted it. So I took that as a sign. I'm like, no, it's something here. We got to double down again.
Yeah.
So in one of my pitches, which was in front of hundreds of people, at the time, I shared with them, and afterwards a guy comes up to me and I'll never forget. He's like, look, I'm not sure what your plan is, but if you can't sell it, come talk to me. He hands me a card, and it's a guy who his organization is called the Hartford Community Loan Fund. And it was a nonprofit that is based in the area, and their mission was specifically to revitalize housing in this neighborhood. Like, mind blown. No way. Right? I'm like,
what?
Thank you, universe. Thank you, universe.
You ask and it serves it up.
Exactly right. So we talk a lot and we go back and forth, and he's like, ah, you guys are young. I don't know if you guys have what it takes, but our credit score was good. I had a pocket full of cash. Yeah. I was gainfully employed. And while I was talking to him, I got a promotion at my job. So he saw that and he took it to his loan committee, and he's like, look, this guy's solid. We need to lend on this house. It's free. It's free and clear. It's mission aligned. Like, let's support this guy through it. $120,000 loan later, boom, close. We have the construction financing. Let's fix this thing up.
Yeah. Awesome. So you fixed it up with, like, this out of nowhere saving grace that came your way through this fund that lent you the money. So you owned it free and clear. Then you borrowed money to do the renovations. Then what?
So then we knew that we had to find we found a contractor in the neighborhood. We had somebody else in the neighborhood cutting the grass. We really wanted to make it a community feel. And it worked. We rented it out quickly thereafter. During the rehab, we actually got pregnant, and we moved back home to Baltimore. During the rehab, like seven states away, it's our first project. I'm trying to convince the lender that it's going fine, all that kind of stuff. But we moved back home. Yeah. And once the rehab was finished and the property was stabilized and rented, we started seeing the cash flow. I'll never forget our very first check for about $800. And I'm like, I'm standing in a drive-through line at the bank. I'm like, we are officially in business. Like, this is the beginning of the future. Like, there's certain moments in your life where, you know, it's a huge milestone. This was one of those moments where, like, wow, this is something that's going to take off. I can just feel it.
We're doing it.
So we moved back home. We're telling friends and family. And then we just started snowballing as much as possible. The numbers on that property, we were about $150,000 all in. Our mortgage and our PITI was about $1,200. Our revenue was about $2,400. So we were bringing home a net cash flow of about $1,200 every month. And we just let it snowball.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favorite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
So cool. Your first deal. That's absolutely incredible. And I love hearing about first investor, first deal. Like, because, you know, a lot of our fans are founders and funders, and in your case, you're both. But it's like, you don't look at, you know, where Khalil is now. We can see that. How did it start? And that is, there's so many lessons in learning about your first deal, your first investor, because that's where you got to be scrappy, right? That's where you find out what you're made of. And it also tests your plan. Like you said, it's like, yeah, the first sign of trouble, I doubled down. I didn't back away. I knew what I wanted and I was going to get it. And you stuck with your plan and you found a way because you were determined. I absolutely love that.
Thank you.
So now here we are. You move back, you're starting a family, you're getting $1,200 a month in residual income. I mean, you're like, man, this vision that we created, we're not talking about it. This is happening. We're having a kid. We just moved back to Baltimore. How did you grow your business in Baltimore from that point?
So we started sharing with as many people as possible, and we'd have little pitch parties where people would come to my mom's house and then, you know, her friends and everything, and then come to our house and everywhere. And at the time, social media was really starting to take off a little bit more. So this was around 2013-ish, 2014. Facebook was already established, but that was really the only platform. There were other platforms starting to come. So I quickly told my now wife at this point, like, look, we got to get on social. There's people calling us, text messaging us, emailing us. They all want to know. We have to figure something out here and formalize it. So we formed Charm City Buyers. And Charm City Buyers is a vertically integrated, rapidly growing real estate development firm right here in Baltimore City. And we have done a great job of scaling and growing. Can I brag a little bit, a little humble brag?
That's what you're here to do. Let her rip.
So Charm City, we've got a group coaching program where we help folks learn the intricacies of developing houses here in Baltimore City. Our group coaching program right now, we've got over 600 people. And in the last 6 months, they have acquired about $8 million worth of properties. So our goal is that within their year program, they have purchased something and they are moving and they are chasing their dreams. And we can provide them with the tools, the knowledge, the guidance to make sure that they are doing so accurately and right the first time. So they don't bump their heads the way we did.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the things that I absolutely love about this business that you and your wife have put together is, like the money absolutely is outstanding. But the thing is this is a value that I teach on the show and many you included with many of my other friends. They believe in generosity. And I feel like that's a very important value to have. And here you are, you did it. I mean, you're not rolling in millions. You did one house, but you've learned some lessons and you're like, you know what? We need to help other people, whether it's people I know, but many that I will come to know. And now it's 600. And here we are trying to help other people achieve their dreams. That is so admirable, right? I mean, yes, you're making a profit, but you're making an impact. And everybody, and your fire is added to the bonfire of many of the guests that have come before this. Every one of them has been generous. Every one of them has been focused on making an impact more than an income. They don't neglect the income, but their driving force has always been the impact they're trying to make. So admirable. That's the advice I certainly can give to many of our listeners is like, what impact are you trying to make? First of all, in your own life, but also in the communities that you live or want to live. How are you going to impact this life while you're still here? I absolutely love that about
you. You have to lift as you climb.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you started Charm City Buyers. You guys now have like 600 students. You did eight million, I think, in like the last 6 months. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Now I did a little bit of homework on you, and it turns out that you and your spouse were fortunate enough to be featured on a pretty popular magazine. I don't know if you wanted me to bring this up or not. But
Thank you. We're doing this. Let's do it. So yeah, back in.
So tell me about this magazine feature that you that you guys were in.
Yeah. So back in 2021, over the summer, because of the positive work that we're doing, because of the impact that we're having in people's lives, and because of our business savvy and all the successes that we've accomplished, we were fortunate enough to be featured in Forbes, like Forbes magazine. I'm like, what?
This is awesome.
It was huge. Yeah. It was huge. And it was just a great way of us kind of patting ourselves on the back, but also showcasing our talents and attracting even more people so that we can continue to lift as we climb and have a little bit of like credibility behind us, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that there was any issue there, but to be published in a magazine like that, it certainly helps as you kind of step into the big leagues. But we've been doing different magazines and publications. We've been in television shows. We've been like, there was an episode of First Time Flippers that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you know, at the time it wasn't our first flip, but we had to play the part and it was cool to be on DIY and TV and all that kind of fun stuff.
That's so cool, man. Yeah. You know, and there's so many I think some of our listeners are going to research you now and be curious of all the cool stuff that you've done. You know, in that article, I noticed that they talked about how they literally credited you and how you in this little startup that started on like Murder Street or whatever it's called. And you grew it into like doing millions of dollars and helping hundreds of people in the community of Baltimore to achieve their dreams through real estate. And the article kind of talks about how you made Baltimore just more attractive to both residents as well as investors. So can you kind of talk about a little bit more of just kind of paint some color on that article and exactly like how did you pull that off to get so much praise? I mean, I'm dying to know. How'd you do that?
Yeah. So for us, our social media presence is strong. And our branding is strong. And I think you say it all the time, your reputation, that's one of the two things that really puts you in highly in the spotlight. And you got to just protect that.
Got to manage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we were able to do so much social media on YouTube and Instagram and all these different platforms that we were approached. We're always building a team around the things that we do. So we have a media person who helped us get into the magazine, and it was the right time. It was the absolute right time.
Man, it's so cool. I love that. So, you know, I'd love to, so Charm City Buyers is kind of this crown jewel at this point in your career and still is today. I mean, you're doing some other stuff with Merakai Investments. We'll get into that in a second, but so my understanding is Charm City Buyers is really it's kind of a big deal. I would say that. You didn't say that. I'll say it for you.
Thank you.
But the credit that you've gotten both in Forbes and all these TV shows, but also locally in the community, right where you're making that impact and fulfilling your mission and your vision. My understanding is you guys have been awarded rights to do some serious construction through the whole city of Baltimore. Can you walk us through exactly like what are you doing and how the heck did you even get the ability to be a civically recognized builder to start making an impact on the whole city? I mean, we're not talking about building a house or two. We're talking about impacting the entire city. Maybe walk us through exactly what's going on there and how did you even get to that point to have that much clout?
Yeah. So 600 plus students, right? Doing crazy amounts of deals. We've got an internal construction company that we acquired back in 2021. And that company has done over 350 houses. We were recently awarded, and I think this is what you were bringing up. We were recently awarded the rights to build 50 brand new townhomes in Baltimore City, right next to Johns Hopkins Hospital, Class A area. They've got a brand new like Walgreens and Starbucks and all kind of cool stuff. And our team is fantastic, right? Habitat for Humanity is on our team because we are passionate about affordable housing, and they're going to help us out there. Yeah. We got a national builder who is a publicly traded company. And we've got so many different organizations and team members because collaboration is the key, right? You have to surround yourself. You got to know what your strengths are. Me personally, I'm very in tune with what my strengths are and where my areas for improvement are. And I outsource as many of those areas for improvement as possible while constantly working on myself and trying to get my own personal self to the next level. But in the meantime, because things are moving so fast, I got to just surround myself with the right people.
That's right. So, and you touched on the second R that many of our listeners are, and you know this, is You mentioned reputation and you managed that well, and that helped to move your career along. And now what you just talked about was relationships. Yep. You're saying we built those relationships. We got 600 people in our program. We've got connections with builders, Habitat for Humanity. We've built the relationships. We've built the reputation. And now it's like this levee breaks, right? You get the, and I've experienced it too. And many of our listeners and guests have had that same moment where they focus on building their reputation and relationships in the right ways. And all of a sudden, it's no longer a you pushing your idea in the market. It's ideas are being pushed to you or a pull. And so it's like after a while, it's just money and deals and all these things start to come to you if you've done a good job at managing your reputation and relationship. Would you say that that's how it played out for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that second R word up. The relationships are key. In fact, the relationships have helped us to have seats at tables that I would have never dreamed of. When I graduated college, I had $20. Totally. Man, would have never thought that the relationships would have taken me here. So another thing that I want to quickly share, there's a big initiative in Baltimore City. I'm going to share a little bit of history of Baltimore. It's the birthplace of redlining. So the legal practice of drawing lines on maps and saying these areas are deemed hazardous, we will not lend to them, or we will not provide insurance to them. So as you can imagine, when that type of thing happens, the you artificially change the housing values, you limit the amount of tax dollars that go in because the assessed values are now lower, so the public schools are worse, the infrastructure crumbles because there's just not enough money in those areas to put into. It's a domino effect. So there's tons of vacant houses, right? And I think a lot of your listeners may know about shows like The Wire and different things that paint Baltimore in a very bad way, but it's this like historical impact over decades of time that have really crumbled things. So at this point, there's an initiative that the mayor has put together, and he's backed with capital. There's 10,000 houses that the mayor wants to rebuild or create green spaces over the next 10 years. So 1,000 houses a year. And we have a seat at that table. We're one of the few developers who have been tapped and asked to join the conversation, to share our wisdom as people who have boots on the ground, to provide guidance on the policies that will be created, on the institutional nonprofits and things that will be built in order to acquire properties in an efficient way and dispose of them to folks like us who can then build them.
Yeah. Wow. So nail it. R&R, reputation, relationships at the core, and those keep building into more reputation, more relationships. And here you are, 10,000 houses, and now you're part of that, building other 50 new townhomes.
Cool is that?
Coaching people. I mean, you did it right, man.
And in a city that I love, in a city where I'm from, I remember used to going down the street and playing basketball or going to the clubs and all that kind of stuff. Now I'm like, I get to rebuild my city.
Oh, man, this is like it's like the grown up sandbox, right? You
exactly.
Get to build and play around, and it's like, yeah, let's move this here. This is absolutely incredible. I'm so happy for you, man. And look, your energy and absolute like. Your exact energy of someone who's like living their plan. You know what I mean? Like life is good. And you know, when you're around those people that are just kicking ass in life and they're just feeling great. And you're like, man, it's such a pull, that energy. So, so keep it up, man. And
thank you.
You know, speaking of energy, here you are, you got all these relationships and reputation, and now you decided to launch your next big project. You've changed the rules of the game. So here you are as a builder and a developer, and you're building reputation and in Forbes and TV shows. Now it's time for the next stage, which is start your own investment fund.
Yep.
Can you walk us through your current project?
Yeah. So one thing that we always do is we work with ourselves and our passion. That's what Kiara and I have always been doing. And one quick caveat. You kind of mentioned it before. Working with your spouse or your significant other, it's key. Yeah. So for us, I like to say we have 48 hours in a day where other people only have 24 hours because we can just duplicate ourselves.
Cool.
Yeah. Right. So we can collapse
great
time
way to think about it.
And we can just get things done faster, which is great. So anyway, because we work with our passion, we wanted to name our fund Merikai Investment Group, or MIG. Merikai is a Greek word that that describes doing something with your soul, doing something with your creativity, with your love, with your passion, like really putting your own self into your work. And that's how we've always moved. So for us, just being able to submit that and say, look, this is what we're doing. This is what we stand for. These are the principles upon which we will build, is how we plan on launching and scaling our $50 million fund that's focused on apartment communities.
Right. So $50 million fund, and you're focused on apartment communities. Now, you and I were talking offline, and my understanding is, keep me honest, but the strategy is to take kind of Class C, which for those who don't know real estate is, it's seen better days. This is a rough property. Yeah. Maybe on called Murder or Murder Street. It's like you certainly were baptized in the Class C early in your career. Yeah. So here you are, you're rehabbing these older, maybe a little bit run down, not as maintained as maybe they could have been. And you're going to bring them up. You're going to make them beautiful, turn them into Class B or B plus. Maybe kind of round out that vision of exactly what your strategy is there.
Yeah, exactly right. So, our goal is to take these Class C properties, you hit it straight on the head, and turn them into Class B value add opportunities where we can, lease up, and add some value either through rehab and construction or just repositioning the property in a way that takes advantage of maybe solar energy, different things, so that the properties are now performing in the way that they're supposed to.
Okay. And is the strategy to kind of fix and flip, or are you just going to fix them up, fill them with tenants, and kind of hold on to it?
We'll hold on to them for a 5 to 7 year period.
Okay.
And then we will exit. Okay. Nine times out of 10 through a sale, so that our LPs are able to get their desired and warranted capital and their upside and everything. And although we're super passionate about Baltimore, we're going to have to expand, right? There's no way we can just stay isolated in this area. So we're doing tons of research on the next hot markets. There are 6 different publications like the PricewaterhouseCooper report and a bunch of others that we are looking at and determining based on what the experts have compiled, what neighborhoods and what communities, what states, what cities we will target.
Yeah. I love it. So I can't wait. We'll have to have you on the show when you're ready, when you're out expanding, and kind of talk about where are they now. So so here you are. You got this fund, $50 million fund. You're going from, you're rehabbing Class C to B plus, filling the tenants, holding it for 7 years. It's a good strategy. And I want some of our listeners who are a little bit more interested in this stuff, we can walk through some of the strategy. So now, you know, we mentioned that, do you have any, like, for people starting out, right? You told us an awesome story, how you got going and you managed your reputation, relationships, and then it just kind of started taking a life of its own. Like, I'm wondering if maybe could you distill those down into some useful tips for our listeners to follow? Just to, like, this quick reference, kind of advice from Khalil.
Yeah.
Here's, you know, if I had to do it all over again, here's the kind of the top, you know, 4 or 5 things that I would focus on. What would you say to someone who asked you that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are some things in my life that I would never change, like working with a spouse, never change that. The slingshot effect, that just works so well, for me. One of the first things that I can think of in responding to your question, Ryan, is for me, there's always been, and for many of us, there's always an opportunity to almost like walk through a door. Right. And walk through this kind of metaphorical door and decide, you know, do I want to make decision A or do I want to make decision B or C or D or E? Mm-hmm. But you owe it to yourself, listeners, to walk through that door and at least peek in and see what's on the other side. Right. You don't have to necessarily go and lock it behind you every time, but you owe it to yourself to push through the fear and peek. And I'll give you an example. As I was transitioning from full-time entrepreneur to, okay, what's next? How do we scale up and get bigger? Well, the universe sent me an opportunity to be an intern for a commercial developer. And at the time, you know, I'm a full-time entrepreneur, right? I pay my own bills. I make my own schedule. I'm not going to back down and become an intern.
Yeah.
I went to the interview, humbled. And when I left, I'm like, wow, there's so much stuff I don't know that I didn't even know I don't know. If that makes sense.
Yeah. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. You know, so like a formal pro forma and how to work with political leaders and tax credits and how the grant structuring and capital stacks and all these different things. And I said, you know what? I went back to my wife and I said, I need to take this. I know it's an internship. I know it's going to tie up a lot of my time. I know it's not a big dollar amount. But for me at the time, I was working to learn instead of working to earn. Like, I've got to learn as much as I can from folks who I'm honest with. And I'm telling them straight up, like, look, I'm here because I want to take information back to my own business. I would absolutely add value to you throughout the process. But walking through that door and peeking through, it was like I walk through and Pandora's box had completely opened. Like, there's gardens over here, there's waterfalls back there, there are cranes flying. Like, it was just
it's crazy. Yeah. So walk through the doors that are open to you. And I love how you said you don't have to lock it behind you where there's no going back, but at least take a look, right? And you know, it's take that shot at entrepreneurship, take that shot at your dream is what I'm hearing from you, which you did. And obviously it's easy. Hindsight's 20/20. And then the other thing that you said, and I want to repeat it just because it was so good, is you worked to learn before you worked to earn. So that is another piece of advice that you would give younger self or anyone else starting out is like, hey man, like really learn the field that you want to enter. Don't worry about the money. The money will come. But work to learn before you work to earn.
That's exactly right. Thank you. I appreciate that. So if I had two things, it would be that. The next one I'd say, and I want to give a couple here. Know yourself. Just like know what your strengths are. Know where your areas are where you can get better. And be humble and be honest. For me, you know, I'm not the greatest salesperson. My wife is fantastic. And I've studied and I've tried to do different things, but I've never convinced a single person to join our group coaching program.
You are not on any sales calls. Yeah.
I'm not on any sales calls. Yeah. Either she or our sales team now, right? We've built out a strong sales team. But if I had taken that and used that to minimize myself, I would have never been as good as I am now. They say if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it's stupid. And I believe that. Right. So for me, like, I was a fish. I'm good at swimming. I can't climb trees. She can climb trees. Other people can. But I can swim really, really well. So when it comes to financial modeling and coordinating and putting things into ways that are easily taken, and I can share that information. I'm really good at that back office, that back end, and that vision.
Man, that is I love that. So. If you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will spend its life believing that it's stupid. I absolutely love that. It is incredible. You're a very poetic guy. I absolutely love it. But it, you know, to that point is to say, well, you're really good at something. So lean into that. Like, don't worry about what you're not good at. Find other people, relationships, right? Yep. If you know you're good at it, then make sure your reputation surrounds that to say, yeah, I'm really good at this thing and I'm going to be the best at it one day. So if this is how I can help you, you know, learn how to swim, this is my thing. But then I also have other people who can round out the other areas I need to achieve my vision. Like you said, your spouse is obviously the first and the best one because she's aligned on your vision, not just a job. It's a life for her.
It's a life. That's right.
So anything else you would tell anyone, I would say, is starting out?
Yeah, and we kind of hinted around this, but build a team, build a crew around the things that you're not great at, and that's okay, right? Just build that team and have people buy into the vision and lead with integrity. Mm-hmm. Lead with integrity. You have to have people around you who trust you, who believe in you, and see you. They respect you, and that's how you continue to build. And and scale. It's no way we could accomplish all these houses by ourselves, but through collaboration over competition, we're able to multiply ourselves and have a team around us that can support the vision that resonates with everybody.
Awesome.
And then the last thing I'll say,
Go ahead.
The last thing I'll say is something that I learned a few years ago, maybe about a decade, like 5 years ago or so. The law of attraction. The law of attraction. Yeah. So, you know, you put out there what you want to get back. And everybody is energy. We're all matter. And when you think thoughts, they become your actions and they become your words and become your habits. So just being very intentional with what thoughts you think and what energy you send out so that it comes back to you. When we had that first property and I was up there and I was a little nervous, are we going to move this thing? What's going to happen? The law of attraction brought to me what I needed in order to fix the house.
Yeah.
When I wanted to scale up and go from scattered site, kind of let's do some onesie twosie rentals to like development, like naming communities, naming neighborhoods, 10,000 houses. Yeah. The law of attraction said, okay, that's what you asked for. Let me position things so that you can have it. And being able to just understand that and be humbled and grateful and just work within that space. For me, that's been a game changer.
Wow. I love that. And can I add to that? Because I absolutely agree with, well, everything you've said, and I love everything you said, but to that last point, I believe probably the fifth point that you mentioned about the law of attraction, for me, and I'm curious if you would agree, that all started in my life, that first moment my wife and I made that plan, where we sat down and we just asked the right question. We wanted to upgrade our life. I think Tony Robbins says that. You want to upgrade your life, upgrade the quality of your questions. Start asking higher quality questions and you'll start getting higher quality answers and a better quality life. So we asked higher quality questions. We upgraded it and said, what do we want out of life? Not like, I want to make one day, I'm going to make some money. It's like, no, that's a horrible question. So you sat down and you really got precise on your vision. Would you say that's where this law of attraction started for you, was having a vision?
Yeah, I think that's one of the very fundamental places. Having that vision was huge. Now, there have been all kind of accomplishments beforehand with sports and academics and college and all that kind of stuff. But really sitting down and taking that firm stand and looking at each other and saying, this is what we're going to do. After brainstorming, after vision boarding, after praying and meditating and all these different things. I 100% agree.
I love that. Yeah. So, you know, our energies are combined in that way for sure. Of just saying like, you know what, it all was slowly leading to it. But once I was crystal clear, crystal clear on what I wanted out of my life and my spouse and I got on the same page, that took off like a rocket, man. That is absolutely incredible advice. So, you know, as we wrap things up, is there anything at all that you, any last minute comments you'd like to make or share with our audience, anything at all?
Yeah. So, to that point of, surrounding yourself with the right people, reputations, I think, our friendship has been fantastic. And I don't just mean to say that here. I truly do mean it. I've learned a lot. I didn't know anything about funds and the structuring of them and positioning of them. So thank you for your help on that. Things like data room and pitch decks and all this kind of cool stuff. it's been extremely helpful. So thank you. I think that if I could close out with anything, that would be it. And just, you know, everybody just stay humble, be gracious, be happy with the cards that you've been dealt, and focus on that true north. You don't have to know every step of the way, but just focus on that true north. Yeah. There's five different things that I tell myself every day around health, around love, around vibrating higher, around finances, around just positive energy. And when I focus on those things, I don't have to think about, okay, well, what am I going to eat or how am I going to do this? Or what if the car stops? Like, no, focus on those core things where your future self is going to be proud and allow the flexibility to make that thing happen.
That's absolutely outstanding advice. And thank you. You're very kind. And yes, our friendship is certainly one that I cherish, and looking forward to many more years of just hanging out, man. This is going to be fun. And well, this is really good. So, you know, as we wrap things up, on a final note, you know, advice from Khalil is walk through the doors that are open for you. You know, be yourself, know who you are. Are you a fish or an eagle or whatever that might be? And then also build a team around yourself on also who you're not as you come to know it. Learn to work to learn before you work to earn. And then ultimately appreciate the law of attraction, which really, as we discussed, means have that vision, upgrade your questions around that vision, and you too will have the skills you need in making billions.
Wow, what a show. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to leave a comment and review on new ideas and guests you want me to bring on for future episodes. Plus, why don't you head over to YouTube and see extra takes while you get to know our guests even better. And make sure to come back for our next episode where we dive even deeper into the people, the process, and the perspectives of both investors and founders. Until then, my friends, stay hungry, focus on your goals, and keep grinding towards your dream of making billions.